What kind of insurance is right for me? Am I covered properly? What is a personal umbrella? Can I rebuild my house if it burns? Welcome to Peace of Mind, the radio show that helps you navigate through the complexities of the world of insurance. Brought to you by More Insurance Services, Mountain Insurance in Murphy and Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. And now your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore.
Kathy, if you loan your car, you loan your insurance. I am Mark Moore here with my wife, Kathy, on WJRB Talk of the Mountains on Peace of Mind. Say hello to everybody this morning.
Hello.
Well, it's pre-recorded, so we'll be more in sometimes, right?
But, exactly, sometime.
So we're talking today about vicarious liability. Mm-hmm. What is that? What is vicarious liability? So what that is when you are responsible for the actions of another person.
That's
so
right.
It may be you have a minor, you're mm-hmm. a parent, and you've got a child in your household, and they're not yet of age, they're not an adult. You're responsible for that minor, including what kind of liability may be brought into your household by the minor.
Correct.
You're responsible. Perhaps you're an employer, and you have an employee, and you're responsible for the actions of your employee. So mm-hmm. that's what vicarious liability is. We're going to talk today about, when you have that young driver or a person that you are responsible for, how does that work when it comes to your insurance policy? Or it could be where you have what we call a permissive user, where you allow somebody, here's the keys to your car.
Right.
And your insurance is going to pay for that.
Yeah, you loan your car, you loan your insurance as
people
well.
People are astounded by that because
they're like, really?
People are thinking, wait a minute. So you're telling me mm-hmm. that I loan my car to somebody, they're driving, I have nothing to do with it, and there's an accident. How are they not responsible? I didn't do this. They're responsible.
Your policy will pay for them first, and then their policy will pick up after that.
That's correct. Now, I had it was another volleyball parent. We have our daughter plays club volleyball, and I was talking, of course, you were like, oh, no, they found out we're insurance. They're going to ask questions.
And I always tell everybody.
Yeah, he actually is getting sued. I'm going to find out later, maybe this season, about what happened. He caused an accident and got sued. But we were talking to him about, if you're loaning your car out, then you're actually loaning your insurance policy. And mm-hmm. he was just like,
he had no
are
idea.
You sure about that? Like, yes, we know this. We see it all the
all
time.
Time.
So today we're talking about, not only having a permissive user, but also vicarious liability. So we're talking about how that plays into what can happen to you as the owner of a car. How is that going to work? So here's one. You just go to the news, and you can just Google things that come across your news feed. I'm trying to cut back on my consumption of news because it is overwhelming about
it's
how much news
right now.
Out there.
There's so much going on.
And you can really get the focus off of your life on the focus on what's going on in the world.
There's good, bad, and the ugly.
And we can't solve the world. We cannot solve the world's problems.
Right.
I mean, so they're out there, and a lot of times I read the news, it just makes you mad anyway.
Right.
But be as it may, yes, I go sometimes and look at what's going on. So this is a recent, story out of California. Son of L.A. millionaire sentenced to 7 to 9 months in a fatal high-speed Lamborghini crash. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, you're a wealthy person. You've been successful. Where does the common sense come into play by giving a 17-year-old a Lamborghini? How does that make sense?
Well, I think for them, parents do a lot of things. They do a lot of sacrifice for their children, and sometimes they give them even better cars than they're driving sometimes. But you don't know the situation because we don't, I'm not judging the guy. I mean, if he's buying a Lamborghini, good for him.
Well, yes.
But giving the keys to a young driver is inexperienced, that's another whole scenario.
Well, this is a bad story because I'm looking at the picture on, this accident where he was going over 100 miles per hour racing, and he was collided with a vehicle driven by Monique. I'm not sure I pronounced her last name. She's 32 years old. Obviously she had her whole life in front of her. Mm. She's driving, and she you know, the pictures are, this thing is all over the road.
I mean, it's just,
yeah, I don't know if you want
to see
it or not.
It might be nice to show it to me while we're
talking
about
it. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we can't show the listeners the pictures, but this is, actually, I saw it on another paper here, but he is pleaded guilty to vehicular manslaughter, and he was only sentenced to, I believe it was 7 to 9 months house arrest.
Wow.
And so the family of this victim is saying house arrest in a mansion is not punishment.
No.
He took an innocent life in a careless and senseless way. So his father owns a Lamborghini. Obviously, he gave him permission to use a Lamborghini. The father is a multimillionaire who owns several real estate firms and an e-commerce business. And it's saying this paper does not identify juveniles accused of crimes because he is a minor. So we don't know the backstory about, you know, I'm going to assume that his father hopefully had a large insurance policy. I mean, if you could afford
and
a Lamborghini.
A large umbrella as well.
Yeah, if you could afford a Lamborghini, hopefully you took the advice of your agent, I would have to think, and buy as much liability coverage as available. So right. I don't know what's going to happen. But this is an example of where now the father has a problem because he was the one that owned the car. He was the one that let his juvenile son drive a $400,000 Lamborghini.
Right.
And evidently the kid didn't have a driver's license. It had already been taken. So,
oh,
so, yeah,
that's,
so
that's
makes it even better. So
interesting.
That's even harder.
We didn't know about.
It's even harder to swallow knowing he wasn't even legally driving, and you know now we've got a death of a.
Well, the thing of it is,
lady.
Is if in fact he gave him the keys and he gave him permission, then his insurance would have to help cover that. But if he did cook the keys and did not have permission and was told by his father not, so that becomes another situation as well. The insurance carrier. Could have already excluded him off the policy for all we know. We don't know the situation.
We don't know.
So it's very hard to sit here and talk about it when you don't know all the facts.
We don't know all the facts. Kathy's correct. But regardless, he's going to be the one sued.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
It's
because
not,
he's got,
not, I mean,
they've got something to go after.
Yeah.
So yes.
So let's be clear about, you know, when you've got a young driver,
mm-hmm.
you're responsible for the actions of your young driver. You're going to be the one getting sued.
You have young children in the household. They a lot will have their friends drive their vehicles. And you got to understand that's another thing. Even though you as the parent didn't give the other person your responsibility or give them permission to drive the car, if your child did and gave them the keys willingly and there's an accident, that's going to come back on you, not necessarily them.
Well, I'll tell you what my delinquent high school friends did when I was coming around. That they knew my house was kind of the community house, probably because where it was located at, it was close to the school, it was close to town, so everybody seemed to congregate at my house. Well, they knew where the keys were to my truck. We went on a family vacation, and they came into our house, took the keys to my truck.
Without permission.
Without permission, and went.
I don't think they probably had permission to come in the house either, did they?
No. But they knew where everything was at, and they were kind of like, well, you could kind of infer that they had permission because they were always there anyway. But, you know, we're out of town on a family vacation, and I get back and found out they've taken my truck to Andrews, to Murphy. They've been all around. Now, nothing happened.
Thank goodness.
But if something had happened, then the insurance on the truck would have been the one that would have been primary because the insurance follows the vehicle.
Right.
And if there had been a claim, then it would have been turned over to the insurance carrier, and the insurance company would have done an investigation, and they would have either found out that we were liable for this or not liable for this. I don't know what
right.
the position would have been. I was speaking with a claims adjuster probably about 2 years ago where same sort of thing is there was a – this actually happened in Hayesville.
Mm-hmm.
There was a son – took the keys to the parent's vehicle and towed the vehicle. I don't believe it's a liability situation, but the question arose, is this a permissive user?
Right.
And I was like, how can the parents be liable for this? And the adjuster was like, well, don't assume so fast here, Mark. He said, well, maybe they knew where the keys were at. Maybe they left the keys out and available. So you got to be very careful about restricting access to a vehicle from a third party if they don't you know, if they know where things are and where the keys are at, and you've given access to that, then you could be brought into the situation as being liable for that.
Plus, if they actually are driving your car all the time, then they need to be listed on the policy.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, they could be a problem with the claim paying because they weren't aware of this driver that was in your household.
Yep. So this is how dicey things get.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to come back in a minute. We're talking about vicarious liability today. We're talking about loaning your car, loaning your insurance. I'm your host of the show with Peace of Mind. Me and Kathy are co-hosts, I guess, right,
yes,
Kathy?
Yes, we are.
My co-partner here. So we are on Peace of Mind, Talk of the Mountains on WJRB.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind, here to help you find out if you need more insurance. Once again, your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore with More Insurance.
Welcome back. This is Kathy Moore with my husband, Mark Moore. And we want to let you know a little bit about where we're located with our different locations that we have. First of all, I want you to know that all of our agents are licensed in numerous states, mainly Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, South Carolina. So we do in Florida, of course. So please stop by. Doesn't matter which office you go to. We can take care of your insurance needs depending on, you know, where you're located. We have an office in Hayesville, North Carolina. And it's on Highway 64 next to United Community Bank. You can stop by and see Mandy and Amy and Diane and Mark and myself. We also have a location in Hiawassee right there on Main Street next to the hospital and the red brick building called Town Trace. We would like to help you there and go by and see Joanne. We have our last location for More Insurance, which is in Blairsville across the street from Home Depot, and we're right next to the post office there, and we're in the South State Bank building. We're in a section by ourselves. We're not in the bank, but we're in the bank building. Come by and see Ashley, Shana, Cindy, and Greg. We'd like to help you with your insurance needs there. We have two other locations. One is located in Murphy, and that is Mountain called Mountain Insurance, a division of More Insurance. We're right there past Arby's on the main drag there on 64 as well. Come by and see Velda and Emily. We'd like to help you there. Also, lastly, our last office is Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge, located in Blue Ridge, Georgia. We're right next to United Community Bank there as well and Burger King on the main drag there, and you can come by and see Jeremy and Kathy as well there. We'd like to help you with all your insurance needs. Just a reminder that all the podcasts are on our website, and you can check them out, and if you've missed any of those, and listen to those. We also have our website, which is www.more-insurance.com. You can find those different podcasts there, as well as request a quote, and you can check us out there, and also like us on Facebook.
Okay, so today we're talking about vicarious liability. We're talking about you own a vehicle and who's driving it. If you're not driving it, you're responsible for that vehicle, and your insurance is going to be paying first. And that's something that people are surprised to find out, because a lot of people feel like, oh, wait a minute, I wasn't driving, I didn't cause the accident, why is my insurance paying for this?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have a child, they, you know, loan the car to a boyfriend or girlfriend and they're driving, old dad's going to be responsible for this, or dad or mom. So we had a previous story where this happened to one of our friends, where the daughter had loaned the car. The car ended up in Atlanta, and there's an accident, and now old dad's getting sued for this. It's just a comedy of errors. You got to be very careful, but just be aware. I mean, it's okay to do. I mean, you can loan your car to somebody if you want to, but just be aware that your insurance is going to be paying for this if something happens. I had a kind of an interesting story here, because I was going through the news, and this is not really having to deal with vicarious liability, but a Texas plumber sues car dealer after his truck ends up on Sirius front lines. So what happened was, he traded in his truck to a dealership through, I don't know how it got there, but now the truck that he, with his name on the side, is in Turkey, and it's got a machine gun mounted on the back of the truck, and it's been on the news. And so what's happened is, he's been getting death threats or anything else because his business is being advertised on the news.
Wow, that's
yeah.
Wild.
And even made, it may have made the Stephen Colbert show. Was it Colbert? Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
So he's actually a, what he was is he was a plumber. Mm-hmm. And so he's now suing the car dealership after his images of his truck appeared online. The plumber claims he lost business and received hundreds of threats that have accused him of being a terrorist sympathizer.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. He's seeking for more than $1 million in damages in a lawsuit filed last week. So that's kind of interesting where the how in the world is a truck from Texas end up in Syria? The paperwork in this lawsuit says that the plumber's son started peeling off the decal of the truck that showed the phone number and name of his company. But the salesman told him to stop because it would harm the paint and it would be removed later, the lawsuit says. So his truck with his name on it is in Syria, and it's got Islamic terrorists on the back of the truck with a machine gun.
Wow.
The Stephen Colbert Show says, you know, he's a plumber, and it says the country is going down the toilet, but for the first time, they know who to call in to unclog it. So he's getting all this bad PR, and the car dealership is getting sued for this. So,
because of the employees' actions, or not the actions.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. That's why I'm kind of tying it back into today's, you know, I would think they would have had a duty to take off the decals off of the truck before it was sold or transferred somewhere else.
Due diligence in that respect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess that Kathy is exactly right. This does play into today's show because, you know, what you do or don't do by coming to a third party, or if you're vicarious liable for somebody, now this dealership, and I'm sure the owner of the dealership knew nothing about this. They just bought a truck, and then the employees in this case failed to remove advertising off of the truck, and then it ends up in Syria. How does that happen, Kathy? I mean, how can that happen?
Well, it did. Sounds like it did. So
and I can see the point of the guy. I mean, he's losing business because they think he's some kind of terrorist sympathizer.
Right.
And they're responsible in this case, I would think, because they didn't remove his advertising off the truck.
So there is advertising injury. Yeah.
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 So it's
on the policy.
So, yeah. So they're going to be, and this wouldn't necessarily be, it wouldn't be advertising injury. This would be, you know, failure
well,
to.
Be an injury for sure, because it's injuring his business.
And he's injuring his business. Yeah. Now, maybe he can turn it into a positive. I don't know how you would do that, but you know, if you're
good luck
if,
with that,
if you're you know, if you're advertising your business appears on the side of a truck with people in the back of the truck with machine guns, and you're
I don't know how you're going to spin that one. Yeah,
it's when it
I
says
feel bad for the guy. It's not that's unfortunate.
And one of the caller, I guess somebody called up to I don't know if it was a Colbert show or something, but it says that how can you call yourself an American if you're supplying vehicles to ISIS? That's what it says. So this is crazy. I mean, sometimes you can't make up this kind of stuff. And
well, we're living a crazy world right now.
Yeah, and I guess the owner of this business has had to meet with the Department of Homeland Security and Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, wow.
To protect himself. And he started carrying a handgun. So that's what's going on with this poor guy. You know, it's
well, that's his reputation. I mean, it's almost slanderous, almost the point. I mean, you're slandering his business.
Yeah, I mean, people think that he's some kind of terror sympathizer because of this.
Yeah, that's bad.
So that's really, the case really of, you know, employees screwing something up. And I've said this before, if I screw something up, I won't be responsible for it. It's hard to take when somebody else screws something up and now I'm responsible for it.
Right.
That's where you don't want
to
be.
That's where it's really hard to swallow because he puts you in a bad position.
Yep. And that's what's going to happen to you when you loan your car. And also if you have a young driver, you're going to be responsible for the actions of a third party. And you know,
we've had issues where, I mean, they're talking about some different cases, but we've had issues with even spouses where the other spouse did something and now there's, you know, hardships for that family for accidents or deaths or what have you. So, I mean, the whole point of having insurance is to protect yourself in a case of an accident or in case of a claim or an issue or a peril. But this situation is, you know, hard, and people need to understand what they have and what kind of coverage that they have and how it's going to work and how it's going to apply.
Here's another caveat. So you know, how the vehicle's title is important.
So if
you've got a business, and I can't tell you which is better or worse, but if you do have a business and you have a young driver on that business and they're driving your company vehicle,
you have just put
the whole assets of the company up for that young driver.
Right. So you need to make sure as an employer or if someone, an owner of a business, that you try to make sure that you hire good people. Right now, trying to get people to hire is a completely different situation, but make sure that they are allowing, you know, when you get their...
And require a driver record report be ran before you hire them.
Exactly.
That way you're not surprised.
Exactly, because then that way you're not putting your business up for something you don't even know what's on their record. So
yep.
And
you'll
be careful out
you'll
there.
You'll be vicarious liable for that. Okay, so we'll wrap up today's show. Been talking about vicarious liability. Again, I am your host, Mark Moore, with my wife, Kathy, on WJRB Talk of the Mountains.
Statements on this show as to policies and coverages and other content provide general information only, and no warranties are provided as to their accuracy. Listeners should consult with their licensed agent as to how these coverages pertain to their individual situation. Information provided on this show does not constitute professional advice. If you have insurance, legal, tax, or financial planning questions, you need to contact your qualified professional. All coverages are subject to the terms, conditions, and exclusions of the actual policy issued. Not all policies or coverages are available in every state.